Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Is it true when people say family is the most important thing? And should our focus really be on our family? In today's podcast and post, we explore the authority of our family of origin. We'll unpack how some families don't really know their members and how that can be an impediment to freedom. Join me now as we discover that the path to personal change, lasting freedom, and having a close, integrated family is first to subvert the authority of our family. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do in the world, just like you. I am so glad when you tune in, because I know that you have a choice of what to do with the next half an hour. And if you're here, you know that this isn't entertainment. This isn't mindless, turn off your brain and just get lost. This isn't chill out time. This is put on your cap, your thinking cap, that is, and deeply consider, reflect upon your life. And so I need you to be present. I need you to be in a place where you can give yourself, your deep whole self, to this process of discovery, especially today. And first, I want to say thank you and welcome to all the new members, the folks that I'm hearing from, I'm meeting. I love your feedback. Thank you for sharing with me how this this series is kind of challenging you already. You're starting to get a sense of where I'm going. Well, today I'm going to do a hard right turn, so hang on tight, because this is going to be a tough one for some of you. And it's because we're talking about family. Whenever you talk about family, a couple things always happen. First, some people will immediately assume I'm talking about them, or this is about some of the conversations I've had with some of you, and I have many conversations throughout the week. I almost always come back to family, and this is why this is such a pivotal turning point for most of us in our life. This is why I'm so excited for you to get this content. This is not something you're going to get out there in most places. But this, if you understand the premise of what I'm teaching, this is going to relay a bedrock, a foundation in your life that will give you footing you need to make the life changes that you want. This series, Fix Your Faith, is all about making this year truly different. How does that happen? By making lasting, permanent change. And how does that happen? Well, we started by going way back and looking at the deep subterranean realities, the authorities of our world, our life, where we picked. We're now sifting through some of this stuff, and now we're to the point of looking at our family. And the model that we've used in this series and we'll continue to do is we're literally following Jesus' life. We're starting with his inauguration in the desert at his baptism. We are looking at his temptation. We are now looking at the beginning of his ministry. And so this is going to be really important for you, because some of us have a failure to launch in our life. And this is precisely for this reason. The family of origin is literally clutching onto our heels. So today, part four is Fix Your Faith. It's podcast number 477, and I entitled it Slipping Through Family. Okay, so this series is revealing how lasting change doesn't just come from a New Year's resolution of writing a big, hairy, audacious goal. It doesn't come from showing up at the gym every morning before everybody else gets there, right? You know, when it's crowded in January and empty in February. Your life isn't going to change if you get up an hour earlier. All those coaching little life hacks are helpful. They can produce change and fruit in your life. Chances are, though, they're not going to be lasting. Very few of those ever become permanent changes. And that's because change has to happen at the epicenter, at the deepest part, the depth dimension of our humanity. And so we will need to apply effort and output, right? So some of our changes are going to require the effort of getting up early or going to a gym or putting down the cheesecake. However, working harder at a broken system only hollows us out and bears no lasting fruit. So if you are operating in a broken environment, this is for you. Like, this is where you're going to get the framework to free yourself and begin to truly transform your life. So instead here, what we're doing in this series is we're diving into the depth dimension of life. We need to ask ourselves, are we living life to possess the kingdoms of this world? Remember, that was the first one, meet Satan. Or are we spiritually free enough to have an authentic prayer? That was the last two posts. Like, you have to get to the depth dimension first. Because if you don't see those undercurrents and their impact on your behavior, you will never change your behavior. It's that simple. And so if our next step is to find freedom, I'm going to throw this out here. You ready? You must subvert the authority, the exousion of the family. Now, if you're just tuning in, this is probably very shocking. Exousion, what is that? Well, remember, that's where it goes back to the temptations of Jesus, where Satan offered Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world because he was given all of the authority and glory, the exousion and doxa. And he says, I give that to whoever I will. And so there's this going after authority and glory that is a part of our life journey. And it's like, are we going to take the bait that Satan is offering us? And what we fail to see is how our families of origin can, but not always, but can certainly be an exousion, an authority that we live under, right? And we have a lot of cultural ideals that come around family. We make an idol out of our family. We overinflate its importance. Okay, so Kevin, that sounds really wrong. Why would anybody want to subvert their family? Isn't family the most important thing? Yes and no. Okay, so do I have your attention? Are you ready to go with me? See, our first kingdom in life is our family of origin. This is the first group of people that give you the cosmos, the cosmology, the worldview. The gospel, the good news, promises liberty to the captive. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Jesus quotes that passage in Luke 4:18. So right before these events, okay, he's preaching in his home synagogue. He unrolls the scroll and he says, hey, the good news is that the Spirit of the Lord has come to me and has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, the open of the prison door and the liberty to the captive and the year of the Lord's favor. And then he stops. He doesn't read the rest of that verse. And he says, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. So the gospel message is central to this whole process because it is the gospel's message that frees us from our family. Now, you're thinking, well, this is threatening. If you're a parent, you don't want your kids to leave. I don't want them to rebel and, you know, I don't want to have no, you know, authority over my kids, or I don't want, you know, it's like this is all conflated. You need to take a breath, okay? And you have to understand the difference between subversion and rebellion. See, rebellion is a power over dynamic. This is when the teenager rises up in their self-inflated, distorted view of themselves and challenges the authority of the family by asserting their own autonomy and authority. That is a power over dynamic. That's like a military thing. A subversion goes back to John the Baptist when he said the axe is laid to the root. It's an under-earthing. It's an undermining. The power that is ruling you is literally taken away so that it can't have that power over you. And the way that we do that in a family is through graduation, not through rebellion. Rebellion creates an interpersonal distance. Sure, many of you have rebelled against your parents, and it might be for good reason. Maybe they were terrible parents. Maybe it was for some other thing. Maybe you're just one of those authority phobes and you rebel against them all. But that is actually an obstacle to freedom. The more rebellious you are, the less free you are. See, we require subversion. This is the axe being laid to root that we saw in Matthew chapter 3. Graduation from family, it receives all of the good things the family offers, all of its training, all of its support, all of its love, whether it's a lot or a little. Some families give you a lot of support, some don't. But then you slip through the family before it harms you. You don't take on all of its toxic poison. Healthy families are defined by repotting their members into bigger pots. Like a healthy family is constantly providing wings for the children to fly. It's not tying their ankles to a tether. You know, it's not the eagle that has a strap on its leg, right? This is no go and fly, right? It's empowering freedom, right? Into bigger environments, bigger frameworks, bigger cosmologies. A healthy family does not obligate or control its members with guilt or suffering or pain or condemnation or threat, right? Healthy families operate on influence, right? A parent's influence, which is means that this is a family that is operating through God's kingdom, if you go back to the temptations, whereas a family that is not healthy, it imprisons its members and operates on authority, which is the exousion, or Satan's kingdom. Now, I love these biblical frameworks because they give us really clear kind of pictures. Everybody knows this experience. You all know it, but you haven't framed it maybe this way. And you probably haven't thought of your family as maybe operating under Satan's influence, but maybe you should. Now, what can we learn by following Jesus' footsteps? Let's look at Luke chapter 4, right after he reads that passage from the Bible. His hometown, his family of origin, they rise up and they say, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What you have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said to them, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown." Okay, so let me kind of deconstruct some of this for you so it sort of makes sense. In other words, he went and did something really audacious. One, he went to the temple as a teacher in the temple, a rabbi. He unrolled the scroll, which means he read it out of order. He wasn't going by tradition or form or process or any of that. He unrolled it. He went backwards. And he said, "We're going to go and focus on this passage that talks about the liberty of the captive. And then he says to them, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. This was a messianic prophecy. And so for him to say, this messianic prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing, is to throw a grenade into the synagogue. Okay? Now, those closest to us always struggle to see us as God sees us. Okay? You probably have felt this in your own life. If we see ourselves as our family sees us, then we forfeit ourself. And we live in the pseudonym. We live in that fake ID, the family name. Oh, that's just Kevin. He's the youngest. He's, you know, he's always the happy peacemaker guy. You know, he gets along with everybody. Like, my family role has always been kind of the fixer, the guy who tries to make everybody feel better. Nothing's really changed. That's still kind of my role. And yet it's different now. Like, I don't volunteer to fix the things like I used to feel highly compelled to do so. And for a while, I was kind of guilted into fixing things, whereas now I do it out of a compulsion of love. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. All right. How many counseling chairs are out there, are filled with people, maybe you're filling one, trying to discover who you are apart from your family? Like, people, this really jacks up people's lives. Families are the cause of most confusion. Now, subversion, as I said, is not rebellion, but graduating from our family means we're able to appreciate and include all that is good while transcending it. See, we receive all the good provided and offered, but our family cannot name us. We do not take the mark, so to speak. Like, my last name is Winder, but in reality, I'm not Winder. I'm the beloved child of God, just like you. Your last name isn't who you are. Only God gets to say who you are. That might be a shocking thing to say, especially if your name has clout, has political power, economic power, or something else. You might really want that name. But let me just assure you, it's not as helpful to you as you think it is. Now, the story goes in Luke 4:29 that this community, his family, his brothers, his aunts and uncles and cousins, they all rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they could throw him down the cliff. But slipping through their midst, he went away. Now, hold on, folks. We don't usually think our family is capable of murder or serious harm. Well, that would be a mistake. Now, if you come from an abusive family, that might be a closer reality than you would care to even imagine. But if you come from a normal, operating, everyday family, thinking that their family is trying to kill you or harm you or throw you down a cliff, and that they would never do such a thing, that might be a fatal mistake to assume that it's not in their power to do harm to you. There are many ways our families kill us by stunting our growth. A family can kill you emotionally. Your family can kill you socially. They can kill you economically and hold over the purse strings for you. Your family can kill you spiritually by insisting that all those claims about God are not real, or that only this tribe, this cult, this structure religious thing is the only valid one. Like, they can really hurt you. Now, following Christ is not a religion. I never talk about subscribing to the Christian religion. That's never what I'm inviting you to. But I do invite all comers, no matter what religion you support, to consider following Christ. And that's why I use these Bible stories so that we can see how did he do this? There's a wisdom in it, and it offers us real tools that help us transform our lives. We see here that Christ slips through their midst, and it means that we embrace his marginalization as we are marginalized to our cliff. Like, maybe you don't realize it, but there's probably a cliff, and your family is kind of trying to throw you off of it. Maybe you're marginalized to the outside of your town. You've been driven out of town. You are placed upon the precipice of the farthest margin. And essentially, your family just wants to throw you off. Now, sadly, most of us just live on the cliff. We fail to slip through their midst. We just stay there, arguing with the crowd, trying to grab our footing at the edge of the cliff. Folks, that's not where you're going to live. If you try and build your life on the edge of the cliff, it's a wasted life. You have to disintegrate from the family. You have to find yourself in God so that you can pass through the family. This is the subversion. You have to find a way so that the authority of the family doesn't loom over you. But that doesn't mean abandoning your family, and I'm going to get there. So don't just fall into binaries here. This is a nuanced teaching, like all of my talks. Transformation, if you're going to change your life, it requires sacred moments. That's why I started this whole thing with the closet the last 2 weeks, so that you can understand the perfect prayer. It's not perfect, but it is between you and God. And you're going to need that quiet. You're going to need that center where only God, who knows your true name, can draw upon your soul. And you're going to need to follow the illumination within you out, right? Religion's not going to give you that. This is a relationship with God, your maker, that will give you that. Okay? This is how you will slip through. But that's not the end, okay? Discovering the love of God rewarding you in that secret place means we won't attach ourselves to a dysfunctional love from a broken family. Like, if you think your family is the only place love exists, the chances are high that that is a dysfunctional love. Human love is not as pure as God's love for us. And so the more distorted our understanding of love, the more attached we are to the family. So this prayer place, this finding your center in God, this prayer closet where you shut the door, you close out everything else, and you and your maker unite, this is where you will, that well of love will rule in your heart, and it will free you, because you'll see your family in comparison and say, this is not feeling like love. And you'll pass through the insults and the doubts and the subterfuge and the daggers and all the napalm of the family drama. You'll become kind of Teflon coated. None of it is going to stick to you. See, we receive all the good that our family teaches us and helps us and supports us, but then we have the ability to have a Teflon coat the rest. Like, it's not, the crap doesn't stick to us. And since our aim is to please God and not our family, we aren't captive to a family's manipulation and control. And since God provides for us, we never become dependent and remain free. Now, if you're looking to your family to be the economic support, the lifeline, that without them you'd be nothing, then everything is already on the wrong rails. Slipping through the family means we become the healing agent for our broken family, for its brokenness. Do you see that? If somebody can slip through in a healthy way, not in a rebellious, militarist power over dynamic, not by blowing something up and creating a big fight and a big stink. This is receiving all with love, realizing it's not all love coming at you, holding on to the love of God, subverting its power over you to where you don't need it. You don't need what the family is giving you. And then in time, as you live out of your new freedom and health, then the family members will wonder how you got there. And then you can show them God's family, the bigger family. And that's how you get your family back. Otherwise, trying to hold on to a dysfunctional, jacked up, hurting family is like clutching a barbed wire fence. It's just going to constantly be poking you. Now consider Christ's response to the people who talked to him about their prisons of their family. When Jesus was inviting people, he said, "Hey, come and follow me." And it says, another of the disciples said to him, "Yes, Lord, but let me first go and bury my father." In other words, I'll follow you, but, you know, I got all this family stuff I got to take care of. My father, you know, that could be years. Like, I got to wait for my dad to die before I'm free to come and follow you. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Now, I've given this advice to people about families since like 2012. And I would say 90% of the people reject it. So maybe you're one of those people. You're just like, "I'm not going there. There's no way. I've got too much at stake. My family is, you know, too important." That's, maybe you're missing what I'm saying. And that's usually the case. Now, some people will go through the motions, but if we're honest, some people are just waiting for a death of the parent to liberate them, really. Because, like, you know that inheritance is coming, and so you got to play nice until one day they croak. Maybe you'll get, you know, a big bump in your economic status, or something else will happen. Some people hang around for an inheritance. Some people insist on the family name, never changing it because it has such social power. Others hang on because they have this feeling of guilt. You know, the family is like, "Oh, poor me, blah, blah." And, you know, and they want you to feel like if you don't do stuff, if you're not indebted in servitude to the family, then you are a terrible person. They use guilt to manipulate you. These are all the hallmarks of a toxic family using exousion, authority, over you. And Jesus says that all that misses the point. That's what it means to dead bury the dead. It means you're missing the point. See, we have to get on with life by following Christ out from this kind of a tomb. Yes, it's scary, and it can be very uncertain at times until our faith is transferred from our family to God. You see, this is the reason you can't leave the family. The reason 90% of the people reject it is because their faith is in their family. Their faith isn't in God. And if we forsake the family, right, that God has for us, we are the dead burying the dead. And what is that family that God has for us? It's the family of God. It's bigger, broader, wider than just our own family of origin. And so as we graduate to the big family, the small family can be healed. If we never get out of the small family, we live a life of delusion and frustration, and our freedom, our wings are clipped, so to speak. I hope that becomes clear for you. You see, authority imprisons us in obligation. I used to argue with the pastor all the time. He says love obligates us. I would say absolutely not. Love does not obligate you. Influence frees us into the compulsion of love. In other words, when you love somebody, you are compelled. You are not obligated. Like, you, if you can't find that nuance, you're not living out of love. That's where you're missing your freedom. You will only find true freedom as you walk in love. And this means that we slip through the toxic parts that drag us off the cliff while remaining compelled by love to serve and heal those parts of our family that would otherwise destroy us. You're not abandoning your family. If you are, you're abandoning your family more if you just do it through obligation and gritting your teeth than you are if you actually subvert its power and learn how to be compelled by love to serve your family. All right, this really means that the path of Christ is really, you haven't abandoned anything real at all. You're actually going to that which is authentic, teleos, or real, and transforming your family. Now, consider another teaching that Jesus said. Okay, I'm getting to the end here, but stick with me because this is a really important topic. This is probably one of those hinge pins in your life. You might need to listen to this podcast several times and send it to your friends too so you can have meaningful discussions about it. But listen to this. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." There, folks, that is such a clear teaching about family, about getting your priority right. Like, what is the affection of the heart truly aimed? So is the focus the family? No, the focus is Christ, the icon of liberation, the anointed one who comes to liberate the captive. And he invites us to follow him. Just follow after. Just do what he says. He didn't say join a church. He didn't say subscribe to a religion. He didn't say convert away from your religion and join this one. Those are all church reality. These are all part of the religious industrial complex trying to manipulate and control you and get you to bring your checkbook every week. This is none of that. This is you following Christ so that you can find your life. And he says, "I come to bring a sword. Members of your family will be your enemy." What is he saying? He says, "I'm going to show you that depth dimension where you think you have love and you don't." Now, something deep within our souls knows for sure that we do need to kind of subvert the authority of our family. We know that somehow there's something really right about what I'm saying, but you're really not sure how we're going to do this. Like, we also know it comes at a tremendous cost. It's a price many people aren't willing to pay. And Christ doesn't make those of our household our enemies. He's not saying, "I'm going to make them your enemy." What he's doing is revealing precisely how our family in dysfunction is the enemy of our freedom. Do you see that? So if family is our sticking point in life, if family is where we have the hardest part, it's the struggle. We disconnect. We stay at arm's length. If we're not integrated, it's a place where we still need healing, and this is why our lives don't change. If it's your sticking point, then you've got soul work to do. And if you're confused at how to do that, that's what I'm here for. Just reach out and I'll help you. Just start a conversation with me and we'll see where it goes. It's all free of charge, always has been. Now, we have to become free from our family so that we can free our family. You see, we're not done. Once you get out, it's not screw everybody. Leave them out. Just leave them. No. No, you're the one who's closest to them. You're the one who can most help them. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Like, at the end, family is integrated. That's the goal. And we have to become free from our family so that we can free our family. Jesus said, This verse coming out of Matthew 12 as I close. While he was still speaking to the people, his mother, this is Jesus' mother, and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Okay, so he's in a crowd. There's all these people around. And then the family's like, hey, we need to get up to Jesus. We need to get up there. And they come and tell him, hey, Jesus, you know, your family's outside. They want to speak to you. And he says something really interesting. He says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward all of the crowd and the disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Oh my gosh, do you see this? Now we can see that Jesus himself subverted the power of his own family. He is not playing the family loyalty card, right? This isn't like a backstage pass because you know Jesus. Like he doesn't even let them up as far as we can tell. Like he's like, who are they? Who are they? Our families of origin are to be exchanged for the larger family of God. You could actually be closer to another woman who follows Christ than you could be to your own mother. You might actually have a friend who is closer than your brother or sister. Most of us have these experiences. The family of God is larger and bigger, and that's where we ultimately find our identity. It's a new last name, a new identity, a new mark on our right hand and forehead on what we think and how we live. And when Jesus asks, who are my brothers? The answer is pretty clear in his mind. His mother and brothers, his family, are those who wanted to throw him off the cliff just a few verses earlier. Yeah. So let us not think that our families are any better than his. Okay, family is transcended, but it's also included into the larger family. Like, that's the whole point. These are my brother and sister and my mother, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. You see, Jesus is modeling precisely how we too can slip through our family without losing them by joining the family of God. And folks, we cannot possess our family by clutching to it. But if we possess God's kingdom, God's family, our family comes with it. God bless you as you contemplate these things.